Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, so today you've brought us something really interesting. Basically, the essence of the August housing market boiled down to a single dense sentence.
Right.
And it really captures this this tension we see everywhere in the economy right now. The sentence: existing home sales held steady in August amid market uncertainty.
It packs a lot in, doesn't it?
It really does. So our mission today isn't about drowning in data tables. It's about zooming right in on that specific phrase. What does steady actually mean here? What's the engine behind that stability when everything feels so uncertain? We want to figure out the forces, you know, technical, behavioral, that made steady the big news in a market most people think of as chaotic. Okay, let's really get into this specific August snapshot.
Yeah, and what strikes you immediately is putting those two ideas right next to each other: steady sales, market uncertainty.
Yeah,
in almost any playbook, uncertainty fuels volatility, right? Yeah. Big swings up or down. But here, sales held firm. The lack of change is actually the headline.
Which is fascinating in itself.
It is. And the big question for us, looking just at this source, is why? Is this steadiness a sign that the market's fundamentally strong, balancing things out? Or is it because things like high rates and all that uncertainty have basically just jammed the gears, frozen the market?
Yeah, is it resilience or rigidity?
That's where it gets really interesting, because the answer tells us a lot.
Right. And for you listening, the key insight isn't just the number. It's that tension between steady sales and this backdrop of uncertainty. But before we fully connect those dots, let's just clarify the playing field. We're talking specifically about existing home sales.
Crucial distinction.
Yeah. This isn't new houses going up. This is the churn of homes already out there. And that metric, it's still probably the best pulse check we have on immediate consumer behavior, you know, liquidity. Are people willing to actually make a move?
It reflects decisions made now or very recently.
And the fact that this number stayed flat in August, when frankly the expectation was probably for a dip, that's what makes this little snapshot so powerful.
And we really need to think about what steady implies here. Okay, it suggests the market found some kind of equilibrium, a temporary pause point.
Okay.
But how did it find it? Because everything around it, high prices, those high mortgage rates, inflation still sticking around, all that should be pushing sales down.
So why didn't they crash? Or even dip noticeably?
To get that, you absolutely have to look at supply, or rather, the lack of it. We need to talk about the golden handcuffs. That effect is likely the bedrock under the steadiness.
Okay, tell us more about these handcuffs. What are they locking up?
Well, think about it. Most homeowners in the U.S. right now, they've got mortgages locked in when rates were super low, like below 5%, often way below.
Right, 3%, even less sometimes.
Exactly. So if you want to move now, you're potentially swapping that amazing rate for something double, maybe more. That's a massive financial hurdle. It basically stops people from selling, even if they want or need to move for other reasons. Okay. So the steadiness isn't necessarily buyers feeling confident and rushing in. It could just be sellers are stuck, paralyzed by their own good mortgage rate.
That's a huge part of it. This rate lock-in keeps inventory incredibly low, historically low. So even if buyer demand did weaken significantly, and we can talk about why it hasn't completely cratered, sales volume almost can't crash.
Why not?
Because there's just nothing to sell. The number of transactions hits a floor set by the very limited number of homes actually available. It can't fall further if there aren't listings.
Okay, that reframes steady completely. It's not market health. Maybe it's market gridlock. Stability might just be another word for being stuck.
It leans that way, yeah. Rigidity feels more accurate than resilience in this context.
But hang on, deals did happen consistently. The volume held steady. So someone is buying. What's keeping those buyers in the game when financially it looks pretty tough?
Because underlying demand is, well, it's stubborn. You've got big demographic waves, millennials hitting peak home buying years. Plus, we've underbuilt housing for, what, a decade?
At least, yeah. Those forces don't just vanish because the Fed made an announcement. They're about fundamental needs, people getting new jobs, families getting bigger, needing to access housing that exists. That persistent necessity-driven demand is basically meeting that super tight supply.
And the result is steady sales.
Right.
Right.
That's the equilibrium we saw in August.
So one side of the equation is structural limits on supply keeping things from collapsing. Now let's swing back to the other half of that original sentence. Amid market uncertainty. We need to unpack that uncertainty bit. For you listening, what were the specific anxieties dominating in August that should have caused more chaos, not just vague fear?
Good question. It wasn't just general nervousness. There were I'd say three big specific drivers. First, the Fed's path. Total guesswork, right? Hike, hold, signal cuts. Nobody knew for sure. And that policy uncertainty directly messes with mortgage rates day to day.
Creates volatility right there.
Absolutely. Second, inflation was still sticky, particularly core inflation. That eats into household budgets, makes long-term planning feel impossible.
Undermines confidence.
Definitely. And third, you can't ignore the background noise, geopolitics, the looming election cycle stuff. Those things often make wealthier individuals, corporations just sort of pause big money moves, hold back.
Wait and see.
Exactly. So all those factors usually point towards hesitation, erratic behavior, stop-start activity in the market.
And when people hesitate, they often freeze, right?
Mm-hmm.
Logically, you'd expect buyers to pull back, maybe wait for rates to drop or prices to soften.
Mm.
And sellers who do list, you'd think they might slash prices to get a deal done before things change again. That should create volatility, price swings, volume swings.
That's the typical expectation.
But the fact that transaction volume just kept ticking along steadily, it really flies in the face of that logic.
It does.
Which brings up this this dilemma, maybe. If the steadiness is mostly because sellers are locked in that supply shortage we talked about, can we really say the market is resilient?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just frozen, operating at the bare minimum volume it possibly can?
That really is the core debate hidden inside that one sentence, isn't it? The market isn't showing organic strength, like lots of enthusiastic buyers and sellers. It's showing extreme rigidity.
Okay.
The fact that sales volume is high and steady, given the conditions, suggests something else. It implies that the only people successfully buying homes right now must be those driven by absolute necessity, and crucially, they're financially insulated somehow.
How so?
Maybe they're using cash. Maybe they have huge down payments, or maybe they simply have to relocate, job transfer, whatever, and can handle the rate shock. They're not your typical rate-sensitive buyer.
So if most people are priced out or locked out by affordability, but sales stay steady, it means a smaller group, probably wealthier buyers, are just carrying on regardless.
That seems to be the implication. They're operating consistently despite all the negative headlines.
But hold on, let me push back a bit there. If that necessary volume driven by this maybe smaller, wealthier pool is sustained month after month like it was in August, doesn't that actually point to something else? Doesn't that suggest the pool of these, you know, cash-rich or necessity-driven buyers is actually surprisingly deep?
Mm, that's one interpretation, yes.
Some analysts might argue that this steady activity, despite the rates, is proof of some kind of underlying wealth, maybe wealth accumulated previously, that isn't showing up in the usual volatility numbers.
That's a valid counterpoint.
So how do we figure this out? How do we reconcile that idea of deep structural wealth keeping things afloat with your view that the market is more exhausted and just locked up? Is there like one specific thing we should watch next month to see which narrative wins out?
That's a great practical question. I think the key thing to watch is pending home sales versus the closed sales we've been talking about.
Okay. The difference.
Closed sales, like the August numbers, reflect decisions and deals locked in maybe 30, 60 days prior. Pending sales contracts signed but not yet closed tell you what's happening right now. Real-time buyer activity.
Got it. So what do we look for?
Well, if pending sales start dropping sharply, even while the August closed sales look steady, that supports the rigidity theory. It means the pipeline is emptying out, and August steadiness was just the last bit of momentum. The freeze is setting in deeper.
Okay.
But if pending sales also hold steady or even tick up slightly, that would lend more weight to your resilience idea. It suggests that this pool of buyers, however small, is still actively signing deals despite everything.
That gives us something concrete to track. Okay, so bringing this back to the big picture for you, that August snapshot really shows these two massive forces, the financial squeeze versus deep demographic need locked in a perfect stalemate.
Perfectly counterbalanced, yeah, for that month at least.
The uncertainty hasn't vanished, it's just been neutralized, maybe. Neutralized by this structural gridlock we've discussed.
And that neutralization is precisely why steady is the news. Because the forces that should be dragging sales down the high costs, the doubt they're completely offset by those non-financial drivers pushing people to move, plus that floor created by the lack of inventory.
Right. So what's the bottom line for you listening? The core insight here, I think, is that in a market everyone calls chaotic, sometimes the most revealing thing is nothing happening. Neutrality.
Mm-hmm. Stillness speaks volumes here.
We started with that one sentence, and what we've unpacked this whole complex dynamic of resilience, yes, but resilience born from constraint. Existing home sales held steady in August, basically defying the market uncertainty around them. It signaled this pause point, this stable volume that's actually really significant compared to what everyone expected.
A moment of equilibrium.
Yeah, a moment where fear and necessity were just perfectly balanced, locked in a standoff.
And that leads right into the final thought we want to leave you with, something to mull over. If the market is still defined by uncertainty, I mean, the root causes like rate fluctuations and economic worries, they haven't gone away.
Right, the backdrop is still uncertain.
Exactly. So how long does this steadiness have to last before we stop calling the market uncertain? When does stability itself change the definition?
When does steady amid uncertainty stop being the story?
And just become the new baseline, the new normal. I mean, if those structural issues, those golden handcuffs, stay in place, maybe the market just adapts to this lower, steadier volume permanently. Future volatility could actually be dampened for a long time.
So the question is, how durable is this pause? How stuck are we? And what would it actually take? What force would be strong enough to nudge the market even slightly off this steady line next month?
That's the challenge. That's what you need to watch for next.